Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the political situation in Zimbabwe. And joining us tonight is Dewa Mavinga. He's Southern African Director for Human Rights Watch. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mavinga.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're very much welcome. Also joining us is my colleague here, Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe service. Blessings, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Douglas. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Also joining us from South Africa is a regular panelist and friend of the show, Suleiman Mgula. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us from Durban by phone. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. As I said, our topic tonight is the political situation in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's military seized control of the state broadcaster early Wednesday and took President Robert Mugabe, the world's oldest head of state, into custody as troops deployed across the capital at dawn. Meanwhile, President Mugabe is under house arrest and the generals are in charge, but the top brass still insists there hasn't been a coup. What's your take? Coup or no coup?
I think it's a coup, but I think they are careful to say it's not a coup because if they say it's a coup, obviously that would mean that SADC and also the African Union will be quick to intervene. But Douglas, of course, if it walks like a duck, quakes like a duck, swims like a duck, then it's a duck.
I see.
Yes, it's a coup.
Yeah, so you're there from your vantage point in South Africa. I'm told you've been in close touch with what's going on in Zimbabwe. Bring us to date, what's going on today?
Well, the thing is, I was in Harare when the coup happened. I can tell you that it definitely is a coup because the military seized control of the national broadcaster and put the president under effectively house arrest and deployed to key state buildings, parliament, and President Mugabe's government offices in the city center in Harare. So that remains the situation. I understand that President Zuma deployed two ministers as envoys to Harare to negotiate and facilitate dialogue, and that President Mugabe then was escorted from his private residence outside the city in Borodale to State House near the city center for the negotiations to take place. So there are discussions, there are talks between President Mugabe and the generals, which are being facilitated by the South African envoy and others in Harare. So there are talks ongoing, but there is no clear outcome as yet.
Talking of talks, Mr. Mavinga, these talks could... There's no way they could be in the benefit of the Zimbabweans. I think it appears if there are talks, they are about sharing power among the principals.
Precisely, and that's correct, and that is a point that many people in Zimbabwe and observers are missing. That if you look at General Constantino Chiwenga's demands, they were not focused on Mugabe, they were not focused on the nation as such, but they had to do with succession and politics within ZANU-PF. And when they seized power yesterday morning around 4 a.m., Major General Boyo, who read out the statement, their demands were simply to say, our commander-in-chief, President Mugabe, is safe together with his family. We have them under security. What we are targeting are the criminals around Mugabe. This is what they said. So this has nothing to do with the generality of Zimbabweans. And anyone celebrating, it would really be misplaced and premature.
I see. Suleiman, this is what actually you would expect if you overstay your welcome as head of state.
There is no doubt about it, that it was expected. But I think let's make it clear. I think the whole world is confused about what is happening. I think what has made it difficult for us to understand what is happening is that many people have not sat back to consider what was going to happen. I think the soldiers were forced to come in because there was an impending implosion in the country. The way things were moving, it was very clear that the group led by Grace Mugabe had captured ZANU-PF, and by extension, the way it was moving, there was likely to be an implosion, because you'd see the purgings which were going on and which were not new. If we could trace them back, remember, we should be aware that ever since the death of Genom Julu, things started moving so fast. The ugly head of Grace Mugabe became out and her group, and the purging started. A silent purging started. That was when Joyce went. Now it is Mnangagwa. Now it was likely. Let us imagine if Constantine, if the Army Chief of Staff was to be purged also together with the others, which means there would be confusion within the army. There would be confusion between the army and the police and whomever Mr. Mugabe would have wanted to use against one another. I think that impending collapse is what made the soldiers to come in. And when the soldiers are coming in, why people are saying it's not a coup and it's a coup, is because they are trying to arrest the situation of the capture of ZANU-PF by the family. So for them, they want to do what South Africa did when they recalled Mbeki. So the soldiers are trying to see that they can save the party and save the country by extension. That is why it is not clear what they are doing. Though they have not made it clear, but what they are supposed to be doing is to force Mugabe, or to force, because as far as the conditions are, they had already undermined the party structures. He was doing the purging with his wife and maybe a few selected people who are not clear. So there was the as if the party had already been captured. Now, if the party is captured and the institutions within the party were not consulted in all these purgings which were going around, so who was leading the country?
I see.
So that is why I'm sure they are forcing to recall Mugabe from the party structure.
But
not as a government. The government is still separate, but they want to put the party clear. It should be the party to recall Mugabe, but he had already undermined the party.
I see.
He was not consulting the party. So now what are they supposed to do? Should they wait for an announcement to hear that Constantine also has been purged together with the others?
I see.
And then the guns start facing one another?
I see. Blessings, Suleiman is there. I get his point. What I don't quite understand is in Zimbabwe, is there still a party as opposed to government? I thought it was the same and the same, one and the same. Or the army, how can the army actually put the party in order? Yeah, unless if they're one and the same, is it possible?
I think, unfortunately, all these problems that are happening are a creation of Mr. Mugabe himself. He's the one who allowed the army to interfere in politics. Mr. Mavinga has written several articles on this issue, the human rights abuses by the army, targeting civilians, targeting opposition supporters and the like. So I think this was, something that many analysts were expecting, in that Mr. Mugabe did not separate the state from the party. You know, that's why the army can just come in. They think it's actually normal. If he has his congresses, for example, his annual conferences, the party's annual conferences, all these army generals are there. You know, they are part of the party. Of course, they were together during the Liberation War. This is now an independent Zimbabwe. It's not the same as Rhodesia. So there should have been that distinction. And the constitution is clear that they should not be interfering in politics, but they've normalized the abnormal.
I see. Mr. Mavinga, don't you think the negotiations that are allegedly going on, far from creating a situation where things are amicably solved politically, there's a feeling among some analysts that maybe it's preserved the status quo but cooled down the temperatures?
Well, yes, but again, we must look at it from this point of view, that the military from the statement that was made by Chiwenga to the statement that was made yesterday by Moyo, their intention was not really to go all out, because they of the understanding that SADC, the Southern African Development Community, and the African Union would never accept a military government or a government that comes into office unconstitutionally. So they are in a fix in that regard. They need a semblance of normalcy and legitimacy. This is why they have to work and patiently persuade Mugabe to take a lead in, you know, ensuring that there is this kind of transfer of power, or at least the deal, in my view, what will be agreed to between Mugabe and the generals might shock Zimbabweans and the world at large, because they are not really strongly opposed to Mugabe, but they just felt he was captured by a wrong faction, which was the G40, and they had to capture him back. Now that they have him back and G40 is in disarray and in hiding, I think they are fine. They will say, now let us go to Congress. And as Blessing has said, this is a highly politicized and partisan military that we have in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So their decisions would be in the interest of preserving ZANU-PF.
I see. Suleiman, they wanted to arrest and what they call the criminals, those among the G40. But the figurehead of the G40, or their darling, is the Mugabe's wife.
That is the dilemma the country is in. But whether she's still existing or not, whether she's arrested or not arrested, the fact of the matter is that things have fallen apart. Mr. Mugabe is going. There is no turning back. You cannot return the soldiers. You cannot. Mr. Mugabe and the soldiers now are incompatible, because maybe he was going to purge the very people who have taken him over. So there is no way they can work together. The feelings around the country, from civil organizations, from religious leaders, from political parties, all show that his time has gone. Mm-hmm. There is no way. What is happening is they are doing a humane way of dealing with him, just like the doctors. Even if you are going to die, they will administer the medicine to you, giving you hope that you might survive, when actually they are seeing that you are going to die.
I see.
Mr. Mugabe has already left. They are trying to administer him humanely, the medicine of his departure, humanely.
I see. I hope, Suleiman, you are not saying if a house arrest fails, he should try cardiac arrest.
Now, Blessings, further to Suleiman's point there, if the army leadership has put Mr. Mugabe under house arrest, how possible is it that tomorrow they can come salute the same person as their head of state, as their commander in chief?
I think, unfortunately, I don't know if they were rebels without a cause, or if they carefully planned, because the danger, if you stage a coup and you treat the situation like this, Zimbabweans are confused right now.
Yes.
They don't know whether to celebrate or not. You know, because they are even addressing him as His Excellency,
Commander-in-Chief,
and stuff like that. So I think the problem is it can actually allow those who beg Mr. Mugabe to regroup and attack the generals. There's nothing called a half coup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to stage a coup, it must be a coup. But what we are seeing, I don't know, maybe it's the first time that this has happened in independent days, Zimbabwe. Maybe that's why there is all this this confusion.
I see. Mr. Mavinga, further to this point before we move on, if there's a half coup, as Blessing says, that sort of makes the leaders of the army liable to treason.
Absolutely, yes. And but I think the way they have it now is that de jure at law, Mugabe remains the authority, but de facto, the military is in charge. And therefore, as things stand, it would be difficult for Mugabe even to then begin to find ways of moving on the military. But one of the things that's happening now is that why people are also uneasy and uncertain about the future is that Mugabe and the generals are cut from the same cloth. They are the same people as far as human rights abuses are concerned. So there is nothing really to celebrate, because it's just a palace coup of replacing one leader with another. these are the same generals who spearheaded widespread violence in the 2008 elections that had been won by Morgan Tsvangirai in the first round. These are the same army generals that were at the forefront of violence in Maranga Diamond Fields in the east of the country. So Zimbabweans know full well that the military is not tolerant to human rights and democracy. But, of course, they would appreciate anything that brings change to Mugabe's 37 years of authoritarian rule in Zimbabwe.
I see. Well, gentlemen, let's take a short break. We'll continue. We'll be back to a new discussion of the political situation in Zimbabwe.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Welcome back. For those just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. You are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about the political situation in Zimbabwe, and our panelists are Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe service, Dewa Mavinga of Southern African Director for Human Rights Watch, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst in South Africa. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 6. Suleiman, let's pick up on what Mr. Mavinga had just mentioned before I went for that short break. These are the same people. Some people have described Emmerson Mnangagwa as one of the most cunning and ruthless men in Zimbabwe. So it may be raising false hopes among the populace in Zimbabwe, because as Mr. Mavinga clearly outlined, these are the same people, the same group. I mean, there's no difference. So what the hullabaloo is all about?
The hullabaloo is about the fact that the alternative was worse. The way Mr. Dabengwa has said, the country was sliding into a worse dictator. According to Mr. Dabengwa, the shadow president, Grace Mugabe, is worse than the other dictator who is existing, who was the husband, because she's impulsive, intolerant, arrogant, egocentric, and she has no political or administrative experience.
She must have gained it as fast as
the country. She was driving it into chaos. Any other steps without the soldiers intervening is too ugly to contemplate. It is too ugly to contemplate what was going to happen after Mnangagwa. But I believe the country would have been in shock. That is why the country should celebrate, though these are evils, but they are better evil than what would have happened hadn't the soldiers taken over, according to my view.
I see. Blessing, do you agree? Because some have pointed out Zimbabweans deserve better than mere shuffling of cards on the table.
Indeed, that's very true. I mean, that's why, you know, there are divisions. Some are calling this a rearranging of chairs on the deck of the Titanic. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. But in the case of Mr. Mugabe, I agree with Suleiman there that, you know, Zimbabweans just want... You know, if people feel they are oppressed, you know, any change is good. So for Mr. Mugabe, it's clear that if a cop stays for too long, it will chase away mourners. And I think he should have heeded, you know, advice from men, even within his party that he expelled. Many were saying, no, Mr. Mugabe, you must step down. The late General Mujuru that he referred to, Solomon Mujuru, who died in an inferno, mysterious, you know. Those who were saying, it's time for you, Mr. Mugabe, to hand over power to someone, Mr. Mugabe said, no. You mentioned at the top of the show, Douglas, that he's the world's oldest president. He's 93. He was going to contest next year. when he will be 94, and if he was to win the elections, he would continue until he was like 99. And they were even saying, oh, because that technically or constitutionally, this should be his last term if he runs next year. Mm. But the party was already saying, oh, he should be our life president. We must change the constitution and stuff like that. But to him, now what you see happening, it's clear that a fly that does not listen to advice follows the corpse into the grave. That's what is happening.
So, Mr. Mavinga, where do you see this one heading to? Because now, once the army has inserted themselves openly into the whole discussion, it's not easy for them to just pull out. Maybe they will have a background control of the state.
Yes, and in fact, this is what they were saying, because Chiwenga kept saying that they are the stockholders or shareholders in ZANU-PF and in the state, and that they were now fearful that the G40 and Grace Mugabe were threatening the interest, the national interest for which they had gone to war for. So, and this is the danger, that now having ended Mugabe's rule in this manner, if they do, then it means that they are the bedrock of politics going forward. They will then, on their own terms, be able to invite people to join their project. And of course, the opposition and others might be excited about the opportunities, but the reality is that power will reside with the military. Others will be for window dressing, you know, the opposition for attracting investors and things like that. But real power will be with the military. And this is the danger that the events of the last few days have set Zimbabwe decades in terms of democracy, because if the military decides otherwise, then nothing would happen. There would be no movement forward.
I see. Suleiman, what do you make of the AU's and SADC's muted response? Because they don't seem to be declarative on what they want. They say they are against coups on the continent, but since the army in Zimbabwe doesn't call it that, they seem to be going out with that. So what does one leave the AU and SADC?
That is the problem with these organizations. All of them, they don't have direction. They can't consider the conditions on the ground for particular countries. They just made one size fit all, whereas different countries have got different problems. Like now, Zimbabwe is a special case because we have got a state, a country which has been captured by a family, and the country needs rescue. Anyway, what has to be done, according to me, is that, number one, we had a constitutionally elected government. In order to overthrow that government, you know, the best way to overthrow that government is to force the party to recall the leadership. Then, by extension, they can put someone new in the post of the party, and then the post of the government. Then that one will be the one to call a national dialogue, and then invite all the parties. Then, when they invited the party, they have a discussion to plan for a new democratically elected government. I think that is the best way forward, to have the party recall Mr. Mugabe, then reorganize itself, have new leadership in the party, then that new leadership will be the one to call a national dialogue, and then the soldiers can peacefully go back to the barracks.
A blessing, briefly, is it possible under the circumstances in which Suleiman invested to have maybe a sort of coalition government again for some time before they organize elections?
I think that's what some opposition parties are pushing for. Some are saying, let's have a transitional government, different names, government of national unity, but there's a push towards that. And of course, I don't know, this is, I think, something that SADC is also fond of in order to resolve this crisis in Zimbabwe. I think there were two options for SADC, right? Whether to endorse the bedroom coup or the military coup. So I think they will go for a government of national unity that is more neutral. But again, I don't see the role that Mr. Mugabe has to play there. I think he has to step down also. I mean, he's 93. I don't know if he can bring anything to the table. I mean, he is the one who actually gave the military the veto power.
I see, Mr. Mavinga, as Blessing says, Mr. Mugabe is 93. First of all, how do you see this on ending? But briefly, knowing Mugabe, is this the type of man who can simply step aside quietly and say, that's okay, let things stand?
Yeah, now, you know, Mugabe understands clearly the power and authority of the military, and being faced with this unprecedented moment in his life, and at such an advanced age, I'm sure his primary concern now would be his young family, his young wife and family. So that would push his hand not to have this kind of brinksmanship that he has had in the past, because now he is faced with the reality that the military has turned on him, which makes it likely that he would maybe insist on a legalistic approach of following the law. He was elected. He must be allowed. He must be given time to step down. They must allow for some kind of process at Congress in ZANU-PF. So he might want to buy time, but certainly the game now is with the army, and Mugabe has little choice in what is happening now.
I see. Suleiman, Mugabe, despite being having a lot, being unpopular in the country, he has respect and he's liked by his fellow leaders across the region. So he may get soft landing.
Because he played a very big contribution in the liberation struggle, not only of Zimbabwe, but also of Southern Africa. But the writing is on the wall. For almost 10 years, the economy of Zimbabwe has been going from bad to worse. The unemployment is high. Right now, as we speak, people are lining up, and the most they can get from the autobank is $20. That is maximum. The economy of Zimbabwe is on life support of people working in South Africa and other neighboring countries. Otherwise, the economy is almost collapsed. He doesn't have any new ideas. Zimbabwe needs a break. You have got almost 1 million people here in South Africa. These people need to go back home. They don't like it to be in South Africa. They would prefer to be in Zimbabwe if the economy is doing well. So the people of Zimbabwe need a new dispensation. Let Mugabe rest before he gets a stroke in this process.
30 seconds, Mr. Mavinga. Grace Mugabe has been central in all this, or precipitating this, according to some people. Do you see her being convinced to go away quietly? She has the following, too.
Yes. She has no choice. But I think we need to identify the power behind Grace. She was actually lured into this position by the elements within the G40. It was not her own design. She was used, but she was gullible. She did not see the bigger picture.
I see. Well, we're running out of time. I think we shall keep monitoring what's going on in Zimbabwe, and we hope the Zimbabweans resolve this amicably. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Blessing Zulu, Dewa Mavinga, Southern African Human Rights Watch, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
The pleasure is ours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Our producer was Kwame Ofori tonight. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and you'll have it there. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host Douglas Simpuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.